15, beginning at the first verse. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Dear Father God, I just pray that you will be present with us now as we look at this, your word. Open it up to us in a new and fresh way. Reveal to us your heart and your will. And enable us to live this truth each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus loved to tell parables. And today we have two of them. They form, as you may well know, a trilogy. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Today I'm going to concentrate on one of the parables, the lost sheep. There is such a rich seam of learning that opens up from that story. And I want to use this time that we have today just to dwell there. I know I'm known for being quite active, but actually there's a richness in just dwelling with God. And so we're going to dwell with that lost sheep today. And we're going to take note, and we're going to notice what Jesus is sharing with us about salvation and the welcome which we can experience when God comes into our lives. So verse 1. Look at the people in your passage that Jesus has around him that day. Tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, and scribes. That's the keepers of the law. Was that everyone who could be present? Were they all there? Who's here today? Who's missing? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? Well, imagine, and I know we've got great imaginations here, imagine God came to Stoke Poges just for one day. And word had got out that he was visiting. Naomi's Round Robin had advertised it. We all live in Stoke Poges. I put it up a picture and a link to a website on their Facebook page. Other social media are available, of course. Telling everybody where and when it was going to happen and who was going to be present. Everyone came. Everyone was there. No one wanted to miss out on this special event. God in Stoke Poges. Folk from the parish council came. The teachers and the pupils from the school, they came round. The shoppers and the sales assistants from the post office and the co-op, the barmaid at the Rose and Crown, they all gathered. around the special meeting place. Everyone was there. Well, nearly everyone. 99% of the residents of the village turned up. So that's amazing, isn't it? It's a success. And then Jesus tells the crowd, that hodgepodge of people, that if you did a little straw poll amongst them, some would say, well, I know God really well. Yeah, me and God, like that. And others say, well, I see him, but I hope he doesn't see me. And others still that would say, God? Who's God? I just came because there was a crowd. They're all present. Well, most of them anyway. But that's all right, isn't it? It's okay. Jesus tells the crowd, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Notice there's no time scale on this. Now, we, and I'm making a big assumption here, but I hope I'm correct, we are not farmers. Is there a farmer here? No? Good. I did make a correct assumption. Jolly good. And we've heard this story 1,000 times. And in our head, we'll be going, for sure, go and get that one sheep. Poor little lamb. It's all lost and it's lonely. And it'll be scared and frightened and it might be in danger. Go find that one sheep. The other 99, they'll be fine in the open countryside with no shepherd. But the first century audience that are gathered around Jesus, some listening, some muttering, are not thinking that at all. Quite the opposite. Go find one sheep. Are you mad? If I had 100 sheep, I'd just count again. Probably made a mistake. Silly shepherd. If I had 99 sheep, I'd be ecstatic. I've only got 10. Go and find one sheep. Don't be so ridiculous. Risk life and limb on the hillside by myself. Leave my entire livelihood, my wealth and my security for one sheep. I'm not a fool. If I go, when I come back, I might only have one sheep. I'm not a fool. Not at all. Sheep are daft. They always follow the next blade of grass. They're selfish. If it's been stupid enough not to follow me, you're tough. I'll take the financial hit. Doris the ewe over there is pregnant with twins. This time next week, I'll have over 100. Got 99 sheep. Thank you, Lord. No nonsense. Now, I know I've rambled on a bit. But that's the kind of diatribe that would be running through a first century mindset. But this is not the end of Jesus' little tale, is it? No. He continues. His shepherd does go out and risk life and limb, finds the one sheep, and then throws a party for it. What about the 99 sheep? What about them? Poor things. Did he become ecstatically happy when they followed him faithfully day in, day out, and didn't get lost? Was it party central in the field at night when they all responded to the shepherd's call of come by, come by? And they gathered around him every time he said, come home. Or did the 99 sheep get miffed and start grumbling? Grumble, 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 grumble. At the lack of rejoicing over them. We don't know. We really don't know. What we do know is this, that Jesus had a crowd gathered around him. And some had gathered around God faithfully each and every day, listening, attentive, known to the creator of the universe and knowing who the creator of the universe was. And they grumbled. not at what God said particularly, but at the company he kept and those who showed up to see him, those that had wandered off, been to some dark places, people who had made choices in life that were not ethical, the tax collectors, were corrupt, the sinners, who had not paid close attention to God's law and God's ways. When God had turned up in Palestine for one day, the Pharisees and the scribes looked not at Jesus, but at those that sat beside them. And they tutted. They shook their heads, muttered aloud with disapproval. And Jesus' response was to notice, to speak into the situation, and to show a different perspective, a godly perspective, a perspective that highlighted what God valued, what he adored, and what he rejoiced in. God's people were not valued as a collective and prized for being mostly present. Jesus showed that each individual member of that tribe, his people, were valued, wanted, and adored. Through hyperbole, Jesus declared that the shepherd was willing to go to extraordinary lengths, life-risking, perilous, extravagant lengths, to ensure all his flock were with him. And he trusted that those who knew him and were his followers, that they would stay put and not wander off before he returned. And as a reminder of that preciousness, when the shepherd who went out into the dark places and came back with just one sheep, that shepherd shared his joy with his friends, his neighbours. He showed off the sheep and let them have the limelight for a while. He didn't need to recount his flock or worry that they disappeared, because they knew their master's voice and would stay close by, watching and waiting for his return. Can you imagine how special that little sheep felt? I'm saying little, it may not be little, it could be huge, couldn't it? That sheep felt. Surely that person would know then that they were loved so much that the shepherd would die if necessary for them, give up everything for them so they could just sit alongside the 99. You'd hope so, wouldn't you? But what if, to finish off Jesus' parable, the crowd who gathered around the shepherd as he showed off his one sheep didn't join in with the same enthusiasm as Jesus said they did? Let's just for a moment rewrite the end of this parable and see what happens. They do it all the time at school. They get them to rewrite the ends of stories. So I thought we could give this a go here. What if, when the shepherd came back, sheep across shoulders, beaming with joy, big beam on his face, calling out to all and sundry, "I'm home! Look, the sheep, the 100th sheep, it's here!" And the response had been quite different. It had been, "Really? You left 99 sheep for that? That's dirty, smelly, dehydrated, full of sores, damaged goods. Really? What value is that to you?" Grumble, grumble, grumble. Mumble, mumble. How do you think the shepherd would have responded? It's worth chewing on that one. How do you think that sheep would have felt? To the crowd gathered around him that day, tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, scribes, those that heard that Jesus was passing by, they chose to go and see him. The image of people whooping with delight, fussing around a sheep, congratulating and applauding a shepherd for his success, "You found your sheep," was an extraordinary image. Just as extraordinary as 99% of Stoke Poges turning up to a church service to see God come by for the day. That would be 5,450 people, by the way. Why? Because this parable reveals the extraordinary, exuberant, extravagant lengths God is willing to go to make sure that every single one of his people had a chance of being rescued and restored. But this story only becomes complete as an image of God's redeeming grace and makes sense when you look at the whole homecoming picture that Jesus paints. Not only does the shepherd rejoice, but his friends and his neighbours rejoice with him. They don't tut, they don't mumble, wander off and grumble, because God brings in the lost and the dirty and the sinful. They're excited. They are welcoming and hospitable. They join in with the celebrations. When the sheep comes home, it's welcomed enthusiastically by all with open arms. This complete image of celebration and joy is what Jesus says happens in heaven. When one sinner says sorry, pokes their head out from the dark place they're hiding and comes to be with others. The majority, the 99, are close to their master. They're safe and sound, snug as a bug in a rug. So heaven is chilled about them. But that one is lost. There's no hope for it. Now it's with God. They can relax. Surely that's worth celebrating. As Jesus walked and talked that day, Luke says people gathered around him and they listened to him. They saw the shepherd who had come down from heaven, incarnate in human flesh, to find the lost. People came by and Jesus noticed them. The sinners and the tax collectors saw him. And he gathered them up and brought them home with his words and his ways. Jesus was prepared to forgive them, give them an opportunity to say sorry, and rejoiced with them, sharing a meal and spending time with them. His friends and his neighbours, those who said they knew his character and his ways, that's the Pharisees and the scribes, they muttered. They didn't celebrate or rejoice. They questioned Jesus' motives and actions. They criticised his ways. And worst of all, they ignored the lost. If we truly want to see Stoke Poges Church grow and be fruitful, if we really mean it when we say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," then we need to follow Jesus and obey his words. Love God, love people, celebrating when he brings the lost home. Because that's an outward sign of the heavenly rejoicing that's happening when one sheep says, "Sorry, I got lost. Can you help me find the way home?" I'm trusting God with this because I know that we can do it. Amen.